There's one thing I like about Pentecost. You don't know what to expect from one service to the next. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and people should have that anticipation to come to church to see what's going to happen tonight, and what's going to happen tomorrow, and what's going to happen in every service. I'm anxious to find out what God's got up his sleeve, aren't you? But I never know what he's going to do. If I just try to follow him, then I'll find out what he wants me to do. But I have to follow him, be ye followers of me. And so we want to turn our Bibles to a scripture tonight. When we got done eating dinner today and got in the motel room, and I was sitting there and I was just going through the Bible, and I was just thinking, my, what a book. I've done this so many times, and sometimes we get to where, I don't know about you, but you think that you've preached it all, you know, and you think, well, what's the use to try that one and try something else? But you see, we never preach it all. There's always that excitement. Every time that we open this book, there's exciting things there. Over here, there's a thing that we're going to talk about that wasn't too exciting, I suppose, to the Apostle Paul and Silas, but it was exciting too. It says here in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles in verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many straps upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such charge, thrust them into inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Isn't this exciting? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. This is the exciting part of it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and drew out the sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's exciting. Now, sometimes we have some painful experiences in our Christian life, but it's all exciting. It all turns out right if we just stay a hold of God, because there's always something exciting. I'm just brushing through my Bible, which I've done so many times, you know, this afternoon, and I was thinking about in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, Jesus was teaching them and telling them what all was going to happen. Said the Holy Ghost is going to come. You tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high, and after a while the Holy Ghost is going to come. And Acts 1 and 8 said, he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So here, we got a chapter here of instructions from Jesus. Ain't that exciting? Well, the next thing you know, they're over in Acts chapter 2, and Jesus has sent his pardon and ascended on high, sit down at the right hand of the Father, give them the instructions to do. And now, here they are in Jerusalem, tarrying until they're endued with power from on high. And all of a sudden that morning in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, on that morning of the Pentecost, there was a great thing begin to happen. There was a noise as a mighty rushing wind. And then there was a man by the name of Peter stood up, and these people were staggering around. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the power of God was moving. But as we go ahead with the story here, that it says that these people said, these are drunken. But Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as you suppose. Imagine him. Imagine Peter just a few days ago. He cursed and said he never knew the Lord. Now the exciting experience of preaching the day of Pentecost. Isn't that quite a change? You see, this is the most exciting book you could ever get into. You know, people sit around and read all kinds of books, listen to all kinds of stories, but I want to tell you there's something exciting about this, and it's different every time. This service tonight is not like it was last night, but I'll tell you it's just as exciting to me because I realize that God's doing something anyhow. If there's just 15 of us here, that doesn't make any difference. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not going to change. It's exciting.
Amen.
Peter stands up and preaches. These are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are prophesied. Your old men's going to dream dreams. Your young men's going to see visions. And here they are. They're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're getting saved, multitudes. And it wound up that 3,000 people got touched that day and gave their hearts to God. And what a time that was. Now, we go over to the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to get this excitement into you. The third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Here comes Peter and John by the gate. And there's a man that sits there. And he's been crippled from his mother's womb. And he's sat there and he's asked for alms all these years. Nothing has happened. But on this particular morning, something's going to happen. And him and John walks in there, and there sits this man there expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, look on up. Silver and gold have I none. You know, I believe it was exciting to look upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. There were ministers of preaching. There were a couple that went along together. And therefore, it was an exciting experience for them. This exciting experience was that Peter said, look on up. And he said, now silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Wasn't that he had a package for him that he never realized he was going to get. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. He rose and he began to leap and he began to jump. He went into the synagogue with them. And there was 5,000 people gave their heart to God. Isn't that that's exciting to me? It's an exciting story. That's not just a story. That's in this book. This book of truth.
Amen.
This is a truth book.
Yeah.
It's not a fiction book. It's a truth book. This is a book of the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then he took this man by the hand. He lifted him up. This man began to leap. And all these people began to get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and whatever. And they added 5,000 people to the church at one time.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, that's great. Now we'll spend the gospel to shout forever. Wait a minute. Chapter 4. What happened in chapter 4? All this shouting going on, all these people getting saved, all the power of God moving here in 2 or 3 days, my land, everything going on. And now we've got to chapter 4, and so what happened? These Jews got a hold of them and put them in jail. Now, isn't that exciting? Come on, here we went from Jesus' instructions to go into Jerusalem and tarry there until they're endued with the power of the morning. How they done this? They had the miracles working there on the day of Pentecost. 19 nations were there, and all of them were speaking in other tongues. That's the way they knew they had the Holy Ghost. They had some because they all were speaking in another tongue of their nationality. Wherever the 19 nations, I believe, was gathered there, it was the day of Pentecost, which they had the great feast. And so here we find now, chapter 4 has rolled in, and they've got Peter and John and took them up and put them in jail. So we're from jail back to jail again. Ain't that exciting? So I said, I don't like that part of the book. Don't cut it out. Because it's got the miracles in it that we need sometimes when we're going through a hardship and sometimes when we're going through a trial. Don't cut that out of your experience with God. Hang in there and you learn something through it. I learned something through it. We all learn something. We learn by solving problems and allowing Jesus Christ to solve the problem in our hearts and in our lives. And it makes us stronger. It makes us more powerful. And it makes it more exciting than ever. If you're going through a trial, you're going through a test, I'll tell you right now, excitement's down the road. The next phase of it, no telling what God's going to do. So they put them in Acts chapter 4, they put them in jail and give them a good beat. They couldn't hold them, so they had to turn them loose. And you know what they done? They got excited. How many is excited tonight? Some of you don't look excited. Not near as excited as you were last night. But I'm just as excited as I was last night. You know why? Because I went through a little review this evening about what about Jesus and about the apostles. And about the jailhouses and about the wonderful experiences that they received from God. So these men, after they got done beating them, and they turned them loose and said, don't you go downtown and preach anymore in Jesus' name. We forbid you. Well, you know what they done? They went jumping and skip hopping down through town, shouting and worshiping God and telling everybody about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
They wasn't going to abide by the rules of the magistrates and the courts there because they were men that was cut out to have something exciting working in their lives. I'll tell you what, we ought to be cut out of the pattern that has something exciting working in our lives. And if we're not excited, we need to get excited. And if you've got a problem, you need to get out of the problem. And only Jesus can bring you through and out of that problem victorious.
Yeah.
Well, they got out of that. Here they are in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. And this exciting thing happened. Well, the next thing you see in chapter 5. Listen to it. In chapter 5. There they are, they're having a church or a gathering there. Peter's there. Of course, the Holy Ghost is there too. How many knows the Holy Ghost is good and with us? It's our gift of the Holy Ghost that God has given us to empower us that we might rejoice in the things of God. So in Acts chapter 5, we got another story. This one's not too good to the flesh. Because Ananias and Sapphira, they had promised that they were going to give a certain amount of money for some property that they were sold so they could have part of the ministry. Yeah, we're going to sell that property and we're going to bring the money right here and we're going to lay it right at your feet. But they came in and it was shortchanged. How many thinks it's exciting to shortchange God? It's trouble to shortchange God. But it's exciting to know that God knows how to take care of it. So Ananias, now they wasn't talking to an ordinary man. They were talking to a man filled with the Holy Ghost, filled full of excitement. They were talking to men that had been put in jail. They were talking to men that laid their hands on people and 5,000 people get saved from the result. They was talking to a man that stood on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel. Amen. And 3,000 people heeded to that and were filled with the Holy Ghost and saved. They were talking to somebody that was full of the power of God and they didn't know what they were doing. They thought they were going to lie out of it. So here they are. Peter says, Ananias came in, Paul came in, and he said, tell me, did you sell the land for so much? Oh, yeah, we give that. Well, then the wife came in, said, tells the same story. And you know what happened? They fell down deep. Now, that was God's plan, or it wouldn't happen. So this thing that happened there, have you sold this land for so much? And Peter didn't say, don't you lie to me, did he? The exciting part was, it's this, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Huh? That was an exciting experience, and it turned out to be a very exciting experience. And here we go again with a different kind of a thing happening. Why Satan filled your heart to lie, the Holy Ghost fell down dead, and the men carried him out and buried him. She came in, told the same story, why Satan filled your heart, denied to the Holy Ghost, and they carried her out and buried her. You know what happened? Things really began to happen then, because fear came upon all the people, and the Holy Ghost really began to be poured out upon all the people because fear fell upon them. Now listen, we don't have to worry about anything like that if we keep our lives all straight with God, because He knows where we're standing, He knows where our heart is, and if our heart's not right with God, all we have to do is what Bobby said this morning, we can repent. Acts 3:19 said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He'll send Jesus. You know Jesus will come in when everything gets rubbed up.
Amen.
He'll take over. So, can you see the excitement here of 6 chapters, 5 chapters? Then all this time passes, and Peter and John had worked there together, but I'm going to turn about now to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 42. Now, they've been having a wonderful time in the Lord. This is right after the day of Pentecost. And it says here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, said, and they continued steadfastly. How many know what steadfastly means? They didn't fall. They didn't back off. They were steadfast in it. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. See, I'm going to tell you what's the matter with churches today, and I think you all can begin to see this. If you don't see it, so I saw it already, but you're going to see it if you don't. Anyhow, there's every kind of a doctrine in the world out there that has to trap God's people, and God is trying to give us the wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy Ghost to not be trapped into these doctrines that people are coming out with. Well, my doctrine is it, and my doctrine is that, and what is your doctrine? I don't find any doctrine that's in the Bible that's exciting except the doctrine that God gave the church and the apostles and the fellowship. And I want you to notice what else he said. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Don't get off on somebody's doctrine. That'll take your excitement down. That'll take your blessing down. You see, it's so easy to get into some of these guys. Now, one fellow's got a doctrine, you know. He's got the biggest church in the United States. But he's got a doctrine that all he to do, all his job is to preach that love to these people. No correction. How many believe that the Lord wants to correct you?
Amen.
You can turn your Bible real quick and let's prove that with God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture, listen to it. All Scripture, hold your Bible up to this whole book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Listen to it. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be found perfect. So it's for the perfecting of the saints. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction. Amen. You know, one thing, now I'm 87 years old, and I still marvel at my dad and my mother's correction and remember what they told me as a cracking. And once in a while, I got a little whipped about it. And you know, we could always apply that term that we do so much. It'll feel good when it quits hurting. Huh? When we've got a problem, it'll feel good when it quits hurting. See, with God, we always like to feel good. Well, when He quits hurting, you know God is not going to put more on us than we can stand. But sometimes He'll put everything on there to see how much we can stand. But He's not going to put any more on us than we can stand. So, what I said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the next word, and fellowship. What kind of fellowship is that? Now, we can't fellowship with everything, but it says in 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful fellowship? If we walk in the light, we can fellowship one with another. We don't feel guilty around each other. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
All sin. That's a wonderful fellowship. That's real fellowship. It's the fellowship that the apostles, they can be steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship
and breaking of bread and in prayer.
These are all exciting things. If you don't think prayer is exciting, just pray every day until you get real full of the Holy Ghost. You weep a while, you shout a while. And I'll tell you what, that is an exciting experience with God. When we just meditate, you know, when we meditate, Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, isn't that better than the doctrine of sending $1,000 seed and you'll prosper?
Yeah.
Huh? Send them a seed. A seed. You know what the seed is? That's Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the seed. And he gave it to us. He planted that seed in us to produce more seed. Amen. I'll tell you what, when we stay with this apostle doctrine and fellowship, and the next thing he said, and breaking of bread, he doesn't stop there. He goes on with what Brother Bob was teaching this morning, breaking of bread and prayer. See, all these things are exciting. We've always been taught it's a drudgery to pray. It's a, you have to really get down this, you just beat on the seats and and waller around and pray and agonize to get a hold of God. I'll tell you what, if we pray through every morning and we meditate every day on these things, it won't be hard to get a hold of God. In 2 minutes, you'll have a hold of God, of the main line. And that's exciting when you hear from him. Wow. Today is going to be a big day. Huh? He'll instruct us. And he said in verse 43, and here's what happened. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now fear comes on. And they done wonders and signs and done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Wasn't no big shots in my mouth. Had all things common. They not kind of like that, don't you? And it says here, and they sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. Now this, we can get that, and having people doing that in this day and time, but that's not exactly what it is. Now, the hour that we live now, God has a plan. How many know what his plan is? That one tenth of everything that you get a hold of belongs to God. It don't belong to you. You got 90%. Boy, I tell you, that's a deal. 90%, that's exciting to me. You know what? The person, I don't know why I'm on this, but I guess I'll get on with this a little bit more hurt, you see. Because it'll be joy when it's hurt, you see. You see, sometimes we hurt when you talk about tithes and talk about money. Now, I'm not talking to people who are going to give me their money. They need to be giving it to this church. I don't know how, I don't know what your tithing situation is. None of my business. I don't ever see any books. I'm not asking for any books. Don't want to see any books. I just want to see some good things happen. I want to see some things happen. Joy. That's what your pastor and his family want. And that's what I believe every one of you want, to see something happen. Now, when I got saved, you know, I was driving an old Buick, and somebody run into the fender of it and knocked the light out. And when I drive down the streets of St. Louis, it was possum hunting in the trees, you know, that light, you know. And then I got up there, and we had a wonderful pastor, and he was a wonderful pastor the first 2 or 3 months that I was saved, until one morning he preached on tithe. I moved from the front of the church to the back, huh?
Yes, I did.
And you know what my excuse was? There he is. He wants my money. He wants my money. And I got to thinking about my old car. I need a fender on that car. And then I went out in front of the church, you know, and there sat his brand new Oldsmobile. If he thinks he's going to get my money, well, that wasn't my money. See, wrong thinking. And you know, I sat there and I was making $200 a week at that time. And I sat there until I had, I think it was $120 that I had saved up, and I knew that it wasn't mine, so I began to poke it back in my billfold until I had, I think it was five or six $20 bill. Sitting in the back of the church, back there, the kids were shooting paper wads, chewing gum, and popping it, and disturbing me and everything, and that made me madder than ever.
You ever get mad?
Well, I got angry with you. One morning, this old preacher got up, you know, and he had the joy of the Lord in his heart, and he began to cut down on tithe. And God had, he said that God had given us, that he let us have 90%, and all he wanted is 10%. And I got to weighing that all out, and I thought, my land, I've spent more than 10% every Saturday night in the honky tonk. What am I hard up? So I took this out of my pocket, and I took it up there and handed it to him. And it wrote a whole new chapter in my life, a chapter called joy. I wept and I shouted, I rejoiced all over the place to give him that $100 and the five $20 bills. You see, it was God's word, it was God's money, it wasn't mine. Exciting chapter in my life. You know why I pay my tithes now? That's the first, not the last thing. It's the first. I'll quit and get off the tithes. I've seen that I'm not doing too well. I'm not putting it in. There's joy in it. Come on, can you say amen? And I see you're laughing. You know that there's joy in serving God. There's joy in giving. Luke 6:38 said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, heaped up, pressed down, shaken together, mashed together. In other words, he's going to give to us. And people, he'll call men to give to our bosom. You give to someone else, and God will give you. He'll call me to give. Hey, this is a giving thing. Hey, man, how many know God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I really appreciate him doing that for me. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've got everlasting life. I'll never really die. I'll be resurrected just like he was. I'll be buried in a tomb, maybe, or whatever that it is. But I will rise again. Come on, can you say that? And I'll tell you, rising again, that means a lot. We can shout on that one. If we keep this there right here. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I mean, it released the power of God for the apostles to work. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. I mean, they really got with it. They wasn't commanded to do that. They just done it. See, that's not, there was no question that says you got to command all your possessions to be sold. No, that's not what I said. And they sold all their possessions and goods and parted them as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord. Now here's the growth of your church. Listen to this. This is the way the church grew. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Doing what? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now there isn't anything in the world that would excite a congregation and a pastor and the elders in the church. There's nothing that will excite them any better than see somebody come through that door and get down there and get saved, or get down there and fill with the Holy Ghost. I have fond memories right here in this church of people like Sister Griffin coming and getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. We just prayed for her, and he said, I don't know if she will or not. Then here she got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Junior Strip come down here, laid right there in the floor, and was filled with the Holy Ghost. I praise God. I want to tell you something. There's nothing that'll excite a congregation, and excite a pastor, or excite an evangelist too, when they see people coming in the church and establishing themselves in the church. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1:12, that you be established in the faith. How many know what established means? Solid. Your own foundation. You're established. Everybody needs to get established. You know, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to be so established that nothing can shake. There's no need in us being shook, are there? We're on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came, the house stood because it was building upon the rock. You know what that was? That was hearing what the sayings of the Lord was and doing them. That put them on the rock. It'll put the church on, and it'll put your family on the rock. It'll put your church on the rock. It'll put your job on the rock. How exciting does people want it? What else could be more exciting than to be established? Salt. When you look back at people, that's salt, staff. We're looking for people like that. We're getting some people down in Donovan now, and they're getting established. They're getting solid. You know, I'm rejoicing at more of them all the time. And I notice when they come out with us, when we have a fellowship meeting, I notice that somehow or other, they bring some of that establishment with them and some of that joy with them, and they impart to, how many knows that we impart what we have on the inside of us? You know, if everybody, if you go to church and you ask somebody, say, how are you feeling today? Well, ain't nothing going right, and I've had this, and I've that. That's going to make me shout. But it'll make me shout if they impart something to me. Say, everything's going good. We're having rejoicing. The churches are going, growing, and everybody's getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and some are getting saved. And there's a getting, and all these exciting things are going on. I'll tell you what, that'll make you shout. That'll make your community shout. When somebody in your community that's been a drunk, alcoholic, and they get saved, it shakes the community.
Yes,
sir. I'll never forget it in the Brush Harbor. At Alton, Missouri, and us, the first night, there came a storm and blew the Brush Harbor away. That wasn't too exciting, but it was exciting to see the next day that everybody turned out and put it back up. I said, "Are you putting it back up?" "Yeah, we ain't gonna be defeated. We can put this back up. You gonna preach this revival?" I said, "Well, I'm anxious to do it." Well, one night, there was a man in the community that was played music for the bars, and he was a drunkard, and he had all kinds of things going on in his life. His and family was all messed up too. It was hot weather in the August, I believe it was. And they had this table sitting there with this water cooler on, and he popped up on their table there and sat there, and he was actually kind of making fun while I was preaching. He was grinning and he's shaking his foot like that, you know, trying to distract and all those kind of things. And when I got about done preaching, the Holy Ghost took over and it began to move. And pretty soon I looked at him and I seen his lips begin to quiver. And pretty soon he climbed over that table and he run in there and got on the altar there and began, he got saved that night. You know what happened? There was 27 people gave their heart to God that night. 27 of them gave their heart to God that night. The biggest part of them was his family. His dad got saved. His mother got saved. His brothers got saved. His children got saved. His grandchildren got saved. I'll tell you what, that was exciting. And it excited that whole community. And when you mention it today, that's been about 40 years ago or better. But today when you mention that, they get excited just talking about it. And they still are listening. There's an excitement in this thing, and we've never seen anything yet until we get into this excitement. Somebody said, "Yeah, but it's hard things happen. What can you do? Do that there in the world, too, don't you? But isn't it wonderful to be here, Lord? Wasn't it kept you just here, Paul and Silas?" He said, "What are we going to do?" And one of the other them said, "I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go have a prayer meeting and sing some praises unto the Lord." So they cut loose and started praying. Now look, they had been beaten. Stripes on their back. They were hurting in stocks. How many know what stocks and bonds did? That means their head was in a stock. That means that they were in bonds with their hands. They were in bonds with their feet. They were in a miserable shape all night long. But they began to sing praises unto God. What happened? The stocks began to fall off. The chains began to fall off. And the watchman woke up. And he thought, "Oh my Lord, I'm going to get in trouble with the big shots up in town now, because these fellas has got away." And Paul said, "Here we are." And the jailer got saved. And the next morning, it was so exciting that they wanted to run them out of town. They said, "Release them and let them go. But let them go out the back door, because we don't want to be criticized for putting them in jail and go out the back door." But the exciting part was of this, that they did go out the back door. Paul said, "Now, we're not going out no back doors. We're not going to do that. We're going to go out the front door. You throw us in here, and we're excited, and we're going out the front door." I want to tell you something. When we get excited enough in this, you will see turkey fill up. You will
going to see many where people are going to get really saved. You know, you're going to see a lot of this stuff vanish, this stuff that the people have been doing, you know, like they get down and they tell somebody something like this, repeat after me, and they repeat after them, whatever it is, and they say, you got the Holy Ghost. They have no authority to tell them about the Holy Ghost. And it's not a repeat after me, it's repeat after the Lord. It's whatever the Lord puts in there. The excitement of it is when we really get the Holy Ghost. How many know that the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, is righteousness, is peace, is joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the key to everything. It's the key to the kingdom. Amen. It's one of the keys right there. It's the keys are this. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And God said the other night, when there's water in this. Now let's say there's righteousness, peace, and joy in that. And it goes inside of you. You got what? What do you got? Righteousness. Not my righteousness, you got his righteousness. Not my peace or your peace, but it's his peace. Not my joy or your joy, but his joy.
Yeah.
And when you get righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, this whole world that looks so gloomy is going to cheer up for you.
Amen.
Because you're looking at something down the road. You're looking at the future. You're not looking at the past. No man having put his hand to the plow, Luke 9:62 said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, you can never get the kingdom of God. You can never get this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost looking back. Looking back. We've got to look forward. Looking unto Jesus, the author or the finisher of our faith. I want to see people get excited. Don't you? Excited.